Very good morning to all brothers and sisters in the Dhamma. Today is 22nd October 2023, Sunday. Today is also day 5 of our retreat. Okay. I was told yesterday by Sister Alicia, they'll be having some form of chanting, I think. 9 to 10:30, could be very loud down there, so we may have to adjust our program a bit. Yeah. So morning, I think maybe we will just do the simplified morning puja, and instead of having this exercise, yeah, we skip the exercise. And we do our sharing a bit. After that, we can have our 30 minutes of formal meditation. Okay. Then when we come back, 8:30 to 9, we can have our morning puja, morning chanting. Then after that, we see how the chanting down there goes. If it's very loud, then maybe we'll continue with our meditation. Then taking on the Bodhisattva vow, I may have to move it until they finish the chanting. Maybe 10:30 or what, we see how it goes. Everybody got this for cultivating the Bodhisattva way. So maybe as a preparation, the yellow card also is very important. This is the format that I have prepared for Kayanamita. So this one is a very good format. Last time it was just A4 paper, a few sheets, 4 pages, but Pamasuri actually did a good job. She helped to digitize this into one cut, then passed to me to confirm, edit. Then I say, yeah, very good, go ahead. So we printed quite a lot. So this 4-page format card are the new format that my nature has come out with, and is so far very complete, and it will be very useful for those who want to walk the Bodhisattva way. To walk the Bodhisattva way, there are many understandings that you need to develop. First is, this is not something that everybody can understand. You must have the parami, you must have the affinity with the supreme vehicle to go this way. And you must have had in the past great beings, Buddhas and Bodhisattvas to guide you in your cultivation. Then after that, you develop the understanding, then your faith must be very strong. That faith to plant the seed of Bodhi means to develop the Bodhi mind. The basis of the Bodhisattva way is Bodhi Sing or Bodhi mind. Bodhi is a Pali word that represents, or the meaning is, enlightenment. So the mind that seeks enlightenment, or the mind that is enlightened. So this planting the seed of Bodhi to develop the Bodhi mind that has this efficacy and power to go this way is a very unique understanding discovered by Sammasambuddha. People who have done this before. As I later on, I will read to you inside the Blue Book. The five stages of Bodhi mind development. These five stages of Bodhi mind development are very important. It like complete the Bodhisattva training. So, Bodhi mind, once developed with faith, understanding, sincerity, you must from there diligently take the four basic vows of a Bodhisattva. But because you have this Bodhi mind planted, this Bodhi mind can help you generate the causes and conditions for you to go this way whenever you take birth, whether it was sasana or no sasana. But if your vow is not formatted in a way that can generate this type of understanding to go this way, then most of the time you just take the basic vow without all the other understanding, then the Bodhisattva that started all this will take a long time to actually realize or progress. Because without sasana, normally those who take the Bodhisattva will find it very difficult to progress. Yeah. Because every birth you come, your form and mind don't have the what they call causes and conditions to develop all this understanding fast. And by the time you reach an age where, let's say, you still manage to meet up with people who can talk to you about this, but you already too old, then before you can even do anything else or achieve anything else to develop the progress to connect back, you already about to die. So that is the reason why. But with this type of format, it's different. Where I teach you to make special aspiration to walk the Bodhisattva way, means here the invoking of power, merits, and blessing is very important. So here I mentioned making the special aspiration to walk the Bodhisattva way, and this one is very important. By the power of whatever blessings and wholesomeness that this nature of mind had cultivated from the distant past till now, may arise the causes and conditions for this nature of mind to have the following right Dhamma understanding, life after life, whenever it chooses to come or it has to come as a form of mind. So this understanding is very important. First, of course, is the three right view. Right view with regards to the law of karma, karma niyama. Right view with regards to the law of dependent origination of paticca samuppada, or the dwelling, which is citta niyama. Then lastly, right view with regards to the Four Noble Truths, Dhamma, Niyama. These are the essence of the Buddha's teaching within Noble Eightfold Path. Then the second important aspiration is to understand the two aspects of the five aggregates of form and mind clearly. We are the direct seed to realize that they are all condition-arising entity, causal phenomena, hence impermanent, leading to suffering, non-self, not me, and empty. That these so-called living beings, in our case the human being or the five aggregates of form and mind, is just a karmically conditioned vehicle and tool for us to come to this existential world, to develop the cultivation and experience all of the beauty and wonders of life. So use it with wisdom to arise right thought, right speech, and right action to be a blessing to all. and not to be deluded by it, to constantly recite the constantly recite with understanding the following Dhamma profoundly, just like our morning chanting, Rupang Anicchang, Rupang Anatta, Vedana Anicchang, Vedana Anatta, Sanya Anicchang, Sanya Anatta, Sankara Anicchang, Sankara Anatta, Anicchang, Vijnana Anatta, that Sabbe Sankara Anicchang, Sabbe Sankara Dukkham, Sabbe Dhamma Anatta. These are very important understanding. Where you cannot understand this, you cannot break free from Sakkayavitti. Then you don't know the condition Dhamma. You cannot live life. You may meditate and realize the unconditioned, but you don't understand this, which is the other complementary condition Dhamma. You cannot be complete to have the understanding to understand life and live life. That's why this second aspiration is very important. Then the third one is, having developed the above right view, this nature of my vow to always keep the following three sets of pure precepts. So I shared with Chi Wei last night the Bodhisattva precept, because there are people who has doubt. Did the Mahayana teaching, he asked me, really taught by the Buddha? So I said, why you think that way? Why you want to go and question that? The Buddha taught the Kalama under the Kalama Sutta. Whatever great religious teacher that passed by to teach you or whatever, the advisor Kalaya, the Kalama people is, not even my teaching. You don't have to believe it. You investigate. Now, the criteria is very simple. First, if I follow, I cultivate, does it hurt me? Does it harm others? If it doesn't hurt me, doesn't harm others, then there is no problem with it. After that, the second condition is, if it don't harm me, it don't harm others, why not? Do it. If it's really the truth, stand up the investigation, I will reap all the beautiful benefit and understanding. Based on this, you will not go wrong. Understand not? So, you look at all these things that I ask you to do under the Bodhisattva vow. Does it harm you? Does it harm others? That is more important than that. Then the other thing about the Mahayana teaching is, listen attentively. Because these teachings are for enlightened people to comprehend. Before you are enlightened, you cannot understand the teaching. So, to comprehend this teaching, you need to have past parami. So that's why when you take the vow, when you have the affinity, the moment you have condition to listen to this type of truth or teaching, you like connect and awaken. Then like Vedic, the sixth patriarch, straight away the bohi mind activated, understand? By itself, any truth you come across, wherever there is Dhamma. So this is what is more important and more critical than the thought telling you to question all this out of what? Out of delusion, out of selfishness. If you want to protect your teaching, you think your teaching, Theravada, is the only one. You're scared to be wrong, Vanasana. Then Mahayana is supposed to be the larger vehicle, the great vehicle. Yours is the small vehicle, or the orthodox tradition of the Telos. So because of that, they come up with this type of question which are doubt. They're not sure, but they don't have open mind. So you do this, you create karmic obstruction. So when you come, even you have certain affinity with Triple Gem, then you have occasion to meet up with people who can teach you the Mahayana teaching or the Sutta and all this Bodhisattva way, but you tend to doubt. Understand? So this is where you have to avoid all this based on understanding. Otherwise, it becomes coming up something weird. If you tell people all this, like unknowingly, you try to protect your Theravada tradition, then it ends up creating karma. So in future, when you have condition to receive this, the first thing like what happened to Jiwei is to generate that thought. Even like yesterday, ask him to invoke power of merits for causes and conditions to turn around the I recovery. He said, Brother Theo, isn't this craving? We are coming from the public. You tell people this is craving. Like you cultivate the Dhamma, then you believe you progress, then the properly accepted one is what? You must not have craving. Good food, then not eat. You tell people, cannot, this is a craving. This is coming, understand? Without you knowing it, it backfires. So in future, when you come, you will have that conditioning, that coming obstruction, and all this will be in the way. That's why when you are not sure, you don't have the understanding, have an open mind. Always remember, don't try to be right. Don't try to associate yourself with something that you have no understanding or knowledge of, because that will limit you. That will create karmic obstruction. Okay? So now I read on the third aspiration, then you tell me whether any different or is an enhancement of what the Theravada tradition do. So now I read to you. Having developed the above right view, the two very important ones, this nature of mind vow to always keep the following three sets of pure precept, following the advice of all Sama Samuda. Got problem now? So what is the first one? To avoid all evil and to understand clearly what constitutes evil, the three evil roots of greed, hatred and delusion. This pure precept of a Bodhisattva is an enhancement of the first advice of the Buddha. Understand all? Does it harm you? Does it harm others? It enhances and makes you cultivate with clearer understanding. And the second advice of the Buddha is what? To cultivate all wholesomeness that they put into complete, to cultivate all virtue and blessing. Then they don't stop there, you know, leading to what? Got problem, right? It's an enhancement of what the second advisor, where you only cultivate wholesomeness wherever there is condition. This is to cultivate all, no, the word is all, no, virtue and blessing, no, leading to the perfection of them all. This is what the Bodhisattva cultivate. 10 perfection leading to enlightenment. Anuttara Samyat Sambohi. The Sama Sambuddha. Then the third one is what? Purify the mind and develop the wisdom to liberate. So that first noble true reality don't hit you, understand not? But the third one, that the pure precept that the Buddha actually taught the Mahayana under the Lotus Sutta, the three set of pure precept, the third one is what? To cultivate wisdom, to help liberate and take across all sentient beings. This is way beyond just train yourself to realize the wisdom to liberate your mind. That's why the sainthood wages do that. But the Mahayana is to cultivate wisdom to perfection via Prajna Paramita Sutta, or Prajna Paramita perfection, to help liberate and take across all sentient beings. This one connects to the first basic vow of the Bodhisattva to enable you to have the mind that can allow you to take rebirth without avijja. Understand? Now this one is due to love and compassion and wisdom to fulfill this vow. Otherwise, the causes and conditions for you to come back cannot materialize. The law of karma is there, understand now, even after you become arahant. Because unenlightened being, law of karma always there. After you become enlightened, doesn't mean the law of karma is not there. Your karmic nature is still there, understand now. Then, to take rebirth, you need one. Normal one is avijja at the moment of death, understand now. Means the last thought moment when you die, you have ignorance. And then, you cannot choose to come, understand? You have to come. Your karma conditions you to come. You take the Bodhisattva vow, you have a karmic nature, it can create the vehicle for you. But you don't have a thought that can take inception because of avijja. So how you come? That's why the Bodhisattva to the Sammasambuddha Gayatri know. I have to connect to the existential world's conditioned Dhamma. Understand? How to connect? I make this vow, understand? Until it becomes part of nature's law within the conditioned world. You understand? That's why the first vow is this, love and compassion. I vow to liberate the limitless living beings and take them all across.
Buddha was propagating the Buddhist Sabha ways, as if it's basically to when he was meditating and he was doing it in the heaven, then these are people who want to be Buddhist Sabhas, these are Maha Arahant. Then he mentioned that, you know, as an arahant, you have free yourself, eradicated suffering, you know. But then, who is going to awaken your loved ones? You know, your past families or loved ones are still in a delusion state. You know, so you are saying that, during this arahant, that you should make vows to even help those who are.
Is it a sutta or what?
Yeah, in the
sutta. No, what sutta is it?
Can't remember, one of the suttas.
Oh, never mind, that one not important, because just let those things be. Yeah? Whatever they tell you is just. Because if he's a Sammasambuddha, he won't do this, understand? No? He will know, you don't have the parami, you cannot. That's why when he proclaimed the Lotus Sutta, Miao Fao Yan Hua Chi. Do you know a lot of his disciples who are actually first stage of sainthood until arahant, they walk out. And the Buddha never stopped them. This is your choice, your karma. You don't have the affinity, the causal and condition. That's it, finish. No need to tell all this story. So, just let it be, because the understanding is this Bodhisattva way is not usual. It cannot be comprehended by ordinary cultivate. That's why just now, before I start, I need to adjust the program, because Alicia told me they are going to have chanting 9 to 10:30, very long. So I skip the exercise, then I straight away go into the preparation before the Bodhisattva vow, which we will do after the chanting finish, could be 10:30 instead of 10 o'clock. Then I explain. So those who came in late, listen to the recording, you will understand very clearly. So all this sharing and understanding is for you to understand, because if you don't have the causes and conditions, this bodhisattva vow that we are going to take is optional. You don't have to force yourself. If you are not ready, please have an open mind and just let things be. If you are ready, if you like what I say, what have you got to lose? The Kalama Sutta, the Buddha advised them, whatever that is taught, investigate on it, reflect on it, contemplate on it. If I follow, I cultivate, does it harm me? Does it harm others? If it does not harm you, does not harm others, is there a problem? No problem, yeah. So, if it is the truth and it happened to stand up to the investigation, I reap the benefit in it. True or not? Because I don't harm people. I don't create karmic negativity. And this is how you should understand it. So everything that I put on the yellow card, you go through, not only it doesn't harm you, doesn't harm others, it's an enhancement of what the Theravada cultivate. Then the three set of pure precepts, the vow, the basic vow, is to create the causes and conditions for you to have the understanding to come after you become arahant, like I explained just now. After you become arahant, no more avijja, no more ignorance. When you parinibbana or pass away, the last thought moment is without ignorance. Technically, the normal rebirth of a human being due to ignorance cannot happen. Understand not? But he still have a karmic nature, the arahant. The karmic nature can condition a tool, but there is no mind, understand not? The tool is a form, a physical form. But there is no mind, understand? No more avijja. So how? You have to develop the understanding to create a mind which is without avijja, which is out of love and compassion to the conditioned world, to connect to the conditioned Dhamma. Otherwise you cannot come. That's why this Bodhisattva vow, or the third set of pure precept, to cultivate wisdom, to help liberate and take across all sentient beings, which match the first Bodhisattva vow, the basic vow. So this first Bodhisattva vow is this nature of my vows to liberate the countless living beings from samsara and take them all across to the other shore. So this vow is based on what? Wisdom, love, compassion. Correct or not? Got avijja or not? Don't have, is it? Because it's connected to this vow, like Kuan Yin, they all the Samasambuddha, Amitabha, that thing actually enters the nature's law. Because of that vow, the arahant, no more delusion, it can generate this pure thought, understand? Love and compassion with the Bodhi mind, understand? You planted the seed of Bodhi to go this way, understand? So the Bodhi mind is the one that come and take rebirth. That's why Bodhisattva are called Bodhisattva. Sattva is big. Bodhi, like the Bodhi mind, is the enlightenment thought, understand? Or the Bodhi Singh, the Bodhi mind. Then some tradition call it Bodhi Chitta. You heard of it before? Bodhi Chitta. Yeah. Chitta is mind, so it's a Bodhi mind. So with this understanding, you know they can come. That one means you choose to come, understand? Where you make the vow to have the causes and conditions to come. People don't understand this. The Theravada cannot understand, and a lot of people cannot understand it. That's why the greatness of his teaching by the Mahayana, established by the Sammasambuddha who has gone this way, can come up with all this understanding. That's why the four basic vows is developed in such a way that it allows you to cultivate the perfection of all the 10 paramitas by following the four basic vows. Everyone enhances it. So this is the important understanding. So later on when we go through, because I also add in the additional vow to break all karmic obstruction. My nature realized, you go this way, you don't ask for forgiveness, repentance, and develop the understanding to break all karmic obstruction. Very difficult for you to go this way. Because throughout samsara, you commit a lot of mistakes before you develop all this understanding. So, especially during non-sansana. Then after that, the fourth one is additional miscellaneous vow to enhance your cultivation. Okay? What's the time now?
6:46.
Oh. You're supposed to do your meditation earlier. Oh, yeah. Okay. Yeah, yes.
Morning, puja,
something
is not done yet.
Oh, not done yet. Okay. Okay, I will do that, then you can have your meditation. Yeah, yeah, just do the salutation. Because we already taken. Because today we really need to make full use of all the available slots. Arahang sama sambuto bhagava buddhang bhagavatam abhivademi. Swakato bhagavata dhammo dhammang namasami. Supatipanno bhagavato saṅkhasaṅkho saṅkhaṁ namāmi. Then we chant the salutation Namo Tassa 3 times. After that, take refuge. We stop. Namo Tassa bhagavato arahato sama sambuddhasa. Namo tassa bhagavato arahato sama sambuddhasa. Namo tassa bhagavato arahato sama sambuddhasa. Buddhang saranang gacchami, dhammang saranang gacchami, sanghang saranang gacchami. Dutiyampi buddhang saranang gacchami, dutiyampi dhammang saranang gacchami. Dutiyampi sanghang saranang gacchami. Tatiyampi buddhang saranang gacchami. Tatiyampi dhammang saranang gacchami. Tatiyampi sanghang saranang gacchami. Okay, viva. Pay respect to Triple J. Buddham Pajami. Dhammang Pajami. Sangham Pajami. Okay, you can be seated. then you can have your awareness based meditation. Maybe you have been glad with. No, I still give you half an hour. Okay, yeah. Okay, yeah, can slowly, mindfully come out of the meditation. Try to maintain whatever inner peace, inner calmness, and inner awareness. And from today onward, we are going into the more stringent session. 5th day until the last day. So remember, maintain noble silence. Daily mindfulness, we choose aware every action, every movement in the present moment. Everything you do, aware. So initially, you need to remind yourself to be aware from within, do it. Okay? Okay, now we will open up for maybe meditation reporting. Anybody wants to report any question or ask any question? Anybody? Again, don't have. Okay, how many of you can really relax your body, settle down, and your mind become quiet, still? There must be, yeah. What about the rest? Okay, you cannot. Then turn to the page 94. Yesterday we stopped at part 3, meditation 3.1. You see, even when you can do it, you must understand you are not stabilizing. It takes you quite a while to settle down. That's why this question is very good. How long will it take for the mind to settle into stillness? Means relax inner awareness, the true mind. So understand this. I read you the answer. In meditation, usually how long will it take for the mind to settle down into stillness? I reply, I say, it depends on the individual. The key understanding, if you have cultivated correctly and consistently, and your wisdom and daily mindfulness are already very established, then the stillness of mind can be realized relatively fast. It can happen within minutes. But if you have not done the training and the wisdom is not yet established, then it may not happen. And to settle down into stillness may be quite a difficult or arduous task. So all these are the understanding. So you need to diligently train yourself, develop the understanding of what is the meditation as taught by the Buddha, as pointed out by me, the Four Support Everything. Then diligently cultivate to stabilize the inner awareness. Where you can do that, you have the understanding, you are focused, then you will do it correctly, then you will be able to be in that state of tranquility, stillness, and inner awareness relatively fast. So have faith, do it, okay? Then the next part of the sharing is, what actually returned to the source? The four circles, remember? The first one, from the source, the oneness nature, or Buddha nature, or whatever, original nature. The first thing to come up is the true awareness. So people who don't understand, they ask this question, what actually returned to the source? Where you use the thought, you believe there must be someone to return to the source. So I will read you the answer. I reply, I said, there is no one to return to the source. It's just the mundane mind that realizes itself and sees. The cessation of form and mind, which is a realization of Nibbana, is without any mind and totally without any thought or even the pure awareness or pure consciousness. Hence, it cannot be spoken or expressed or understood via words, knowledge, idea or concept, which is still within the field of thought. So now you understand. The mind ceases, but you, inverted comma, the so-called you, are not dead. And consciousness can still come back if it is still not time for parinibbana as yet. It is just like the analogy of the candlelight that ceases. Means causes and conditions no more, it ceases. Can you say the candlelight ceases in the way? Cannot. Condition no more means no more. Pew! Wow. Oh, the candlelight go to the source, return to the source. What is going on? Understand? Huh? Every phenomenon is the same. Conditioned world has its conditioned Dhamma, but the unconditioned world has its unconditioned Dhamma. Like the Buddha said, if there does not exist the unconditioned, escape from the conditioned world is impossible. Do you understand? That's why there must be the unconditioned. Otherwise, how can you realize the enlightenment, which is the unconditioned? To do that, you must have the understanding. You must go through your nature. Even your nature, the initial pure awareness, that one also must cease for you to realize that nature within, that is the unconditioned. Pu sen, pu mien. No arising, no ceasing, no word, no concept, nothing. Cannot be expressed or talked about. Because it's beyond thought, beyond time. Okay? Then the next one is mental liberation and the non-Buddhist. And this one is, I think, somebody... The time, the questions are all very interesting. I think this question was asked by somebody who has this thought. But is a non-Buddhist, how? Is there a chance that you can become liberated or become enlightened? So the question is, Buddhist meditation talks about mental liberation or enlightenment via the Buddhist way. The question is, can non-Buddhists also gain liberation of mind via meditation? What do you think? Yeah? What do you think? Definitely can, yeah, if they have the understanding. What is Buddhist? Just a label, isn't it? That does not make you special, understand? So, forget about the physical concept and division or entity. So, I answer, I say, yes, because like the Buddha said, the Dhamma or truth was already there before him, and he only realized it after the enlightenment. So, truth is not monopolized by Buddhism or any religion for that matter. Whatever that can explain the way things are is the truth. Hence, truth is not your truth, not my truth. For these are the individual opinion of truth. So now you have better understanding. Yeah. When meditating, is it normal that the mind may go blank? This one, quite a number of you asked me. Yeah. So listen to the answer. While meditating, is it normal that the mind may go blank for a while? So I reply, the mind can go blank for a while or for quite some time, depending on the type of meditation one is doing. But it is more important for us to understand what the main purpose of meditation or bhavana is. The main purpose is to realize the wisdom that can enable us to understand clearly the Four Noble Truths, so that our mind can be liberated and all of the entanglement of life that can condition our mental suffering will be liberated. So whatever meditative experience that can bring about this wisdom or understanding is more important than just blanking our mind or developing the very special meditative experience during meditation. The very special or beautiful meditative experiences that arise during meditation are only conditioned state, and if it does not bring about a transformation in understanding, then they should be left as they are. They should not be clung onto or perceived as equivalent to special achievement in meditation. Certain type of one-pointedness, concentration and absorption meditation can also bring about a state of like no thought or blank mind for a certain period of time. The calmness can be very strong, but the mind is without any awareness within. Such meditation is mainly samatha in nature. One will have to release the absorption and concentration to normal state of awareness to cultivate the sati sampajana or daily mindfulness with clear comprehension meditation to develop the insight and wisdom needed for enlightenment. So if you want to understand all this, you can try, no harm. I remember I was doing anapanasati. So instead of going into the in and out breath, develop the mindfulness. In the early day, I tried it. I focus on the breath. And no more mindfulness. Then my mind stay there. Then together with the mindfulness, the anapanasati mindfulness, I get absorbed into that point around the nostril there. It's not one pointedness, but around the nostril there where the breathing goes in and out. There I absorb into it. Means I blank off my mind. I don't want to know, I don't have any thought, then I go in it. When I did that, although it's samatha, it's very, very nice and very good. Because completely no thought. Then I realize that energy is so strong, so still. It's not a free mind, it's a conditioned state. Then every time I go into there, 5-10 minutes, I already charge up, full of energy. Then I feel very good. So initially, before I understand the awareness base, detect the gateway, I use that to rest. I use that to recuperate. And I find it very useful. That's why at that time when I was in the uni, I went into absorption and all the things. Mind is not one point another, but absorption. I blank the mind. I don't want to know. So sometimes you go in, it's like no thought. But very peaceful, very calm, very tranquil, very still. Like you cannot move inside that. But blissful. Beautiful. No, that is samatha, understand? You have to release that, or otherwise the mental hindrance, they are all suppressed. If they are suppressed, they cannot be tested. That's why the Buddha's analogy, the clear glass of water after the sediment settled up. But you stir when there is condition, it floats up again. Eckhart Tolle call it the pain body. Okay?